Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Are really the oldest trick in the book, where you are collectively accusing a people. It used to be the Jews, now it's the Zionists, and you know, the state of Israel, with doing something that is obviously false, and then you can collectively punish them for, and then give yourself some virtue signaling through your hatred. And you know, sports and music and the arts are all things that are the great equalizers. It's what we should all be unified around. I had a case where we represented the Israelis who were set to compete in a chess tournament in Saudi Arabia, and Saudi Arabia denied them the visas to enter. So we instituted legal actions, and we imposed consequences. And ultimately, FIDE, the chess board, took away from Saudi Arabia the right to host the tournament. So there were consequences for Saudi Arabia. We sued Kuwait Airlines, which also refused to carry Israeli passengers on an Israeli passport. We sued them. We ended up shutting down over half of all their flight paths for unlawful discrimination, all of their inter-European flight paths and their JFK London route. And, you know, for me, I'm not a pro-Israel advocate per se. My job is not to make you love Israel. My job is to ensure that for my clients, there are consequences for the type of behavior that we don't want to see, legal consequences, because for far too long, there have been no consequences to anti-Jewish discrimination, and that's no longer acceptable. And once you impose consequences in courts of law or in the media or otherwise, then you'll have a deterrent effect. Like behavior will be discouraged because people will see that they will either be socially shunned or they'll have a judgment against them. But if we allow this to fester and just complain about it without any real consequences, we have a problem. And if you look at every other minority rights movement, what they have done is exactly that: impose consequences for behavior they don't want to see. It's not the same to be a woman, right, in the workforce after the whole Harvey Weinstein issue, because they used Harvey Weinstein, they made an example of him, and now nobody wants to have those consequences.
Right. So it's about consequences. That's so interesting. The problem, though, or a challenge for you, and I'm interested to hear how you deal with it, is in a world where there is literally, to mix metaphors, a tsunami of anti-Jewish, this wave of anti-Jewish sentiment, how do you choose which one to fight? I mean, it's no matter how many of you know, within your group, within the firm, it's really still fighting a tsunami with a bucket. How do you choose which are the ones worth taking on?
Well, it can feel that way, can't it? I think what we call it is a target-rich environment.
Oh, for lack of nice. That is so American, I'm sorry. A target-rich environment. It's like a nice way of saying, yeah.
Well, every day, you know, you're getting one, two, or three emails, if not 25 WhatsApp alerts about issues happening on this campus or that campus, or Roger Waters is an asshole, or this BDS vote, and really can feel very overwhelming at times. Like you said, a tsunami of hate. And so that's why it's really important to have the second punch of the 1-2 punch. On the one hand, we're engaging in legal strategies, but on the other hand, and equally if not more important, is grassroots mobilization, right? Activating people from the bottom up to deal with issues locally. And if you look at other minority rights groups, that's exactly what they've done as well. It used to be in the Jewish community that if you want to fight anti-Semitism, you write a check to one of the big organizations, you know, Federation or Simon Wiesenthal Center, all these wonderful organizations who have served us very well. But that's just no longer the case, right? We have to go with the times. We have to modify our strategies. And unfortunately, we're about 25 years too late to the grassroots mobilization strategy. We did it well in the United States when it came to the Soviet Jewry movement. We got hundreds of thousands of people out on the street, and we won. But that then died. And while Jews have been mobilized for every other community, we're out for Black Lives Matter, we're out for the Me Too movement, we're out for the LGBTQ plus I whatever movement, but there has never been, and this is astounding to me, there has never been a Jews for Jews movement. There's never been a Jewish civil rights movement in modern history.
The ultimate expression of Jewish guilt. Yeah, don't worry about me. We'll worry about you. We'll be fine.
If I'm not for myself,
exactly.
Be for yourself. Now is the time. And there's nothing to be afraid about. And we have so many examples of when you empower local Jewish communities. You know, when people come to me and say, this is happening, what are you going to do about it? I say, what are you going to do? How can I help you do something about it? Do you need funding? Do you need strategic legal support? Do you need, you know, advice? And whatever the local community needs, we endeavor to give them to solve their own problems at a local level, right? Teach a man to fish. And that's what we need to do right now with this grassroots activism and mobilization, and raise up and train up new leadership, young leadership that can, you know, motivate the base and speak in the terminology that we need, the 21st century terminology, to appeal not just to Jews, but to our allies, because we will not be able to achieve anything if we don't have allyship.
I want to come back to this conversation. It's a very interesting one to me in particular, as we look at the way in which we counter the anti-Jewish or Jewish hatred. I am chatting in studio to Brooke Goldstein. She's a human rights attorney, founder and executive director of the Lawfare Project. Send us your questions on 061-895-1019. We're going to take some ads and we'll be back straight after that.
Chai FM, your station of choice since 2008.
8:50, I'm Howard Feldman. A very, very good morning to you. If you've just joined us, I am chatting to Brooke Goldstein, human rights attorney, founder and executive director of the Lawfare Project. Brooke, going back to, because I find it so interesting that Jews have generally always worried about other people and other groups, and we've stood up for them, we've fought causes. When it comes to ourselves, we either are a little bit more, I don't know, we feel guilty, we feel unworthy. I'm not sure what it is, and the psychology of it, I'm not sure is even relevant. The question is, what I've noticed in South Africa is in the 90s, I was part of the anti-apartheid movement at universities, and the change was obviously something that was celebrated. But we believed in those young days as in the Rainbow Nation. We wanted South Africans to come together. We did good. We went gently. It seems to me that time has changed, that being gentle and believing in the good, that everybody wants the same good, that a more gentle approach works, to me, I think, has become problematic and naive. To some extent, I believe that if somebody rears their head, you bash them on it like that crocodile game every time they put their head out. But there's always this tension between who we really are, because that's not what we want, and being forced to play the game by somebody else's rules. Give me your thoughts on this.
Well, excuse me. It's an issue. You know, I always say that one of my greatest challenges isn't winning the cases that I get. It's convincing the plaintiffs that they have a moral duty. Mm-hmm. And again, not just to stand up to Israel,
right,
but to stand up for themselves.
Right.
And, you know, it was always confusing to me and a bit infuriating, frankly, at a time where we are living freely, thank God, and nobody has a gun to our head, what are we so afraid of, right? This intergenerational trauma that has seeped down, it has to be. And now we know.
Visitors, how just keep your
head down, shut still, be quiet. But we have a new Jew now. And you see, especially after October the 7th, left, right, you know, pro-BB, anti-BB, pro-reform, anti-reform, it doesn't matter. There's the general unity of the Jewish people that no matter what your politics are, we are all Jews and we need to protect ourselves and enough is enough. And never again means never being alone. And the most important part of that is to resist against any type of division of the Jewish community. In the United States, for example, you know, charges of anti-Semitism and Jew hatred are just lobbed around like a political football, right? And our pain is appropriated, our communal pain and references to the Holocaust are appropriated for political gain. And we cannot allow that to happen. We cannot be divided on political partisan lines. I'll never forget when Trump moved the embassy to Jerusalem, which is something that every single U.S. president has promised that they would do, whether Democrat or Republican, and yet it was Trump that did it. And if it was Obama that did it, or if it was Biden that did it, I would be first to congratulate him. But it was President Trump who did it. And half the Jewish community couldn't issue any kind of statement of support because it was President Trump. You know, when President Trump, for example, signed executive order that expanded the protections of Title VI of the Civil Rights Act of 1964 to protect Jewish students on campus, half the Jewish community came out against it. Could you imagine the Black community coming out against the application of civil rights law to prevent, because it's Trump, because it's partisan, it's political. And so this, I think, is the greatest enemy that we have to overcome. It's the division. And then it's also the terminology that we use. You know, a lot of people say, well, why do you use the term Jew hatred and not anti-Semitism? I find that we're really ignorant as to our own history, right? Do you know the origin of the term anti-Semitism, by the way?
No.
Most people don't. I didn't.
And
until I looked it up and I do months ago.
The 5 days a week, 3 hours at a time, plus my other, and I don't know the origin.
So the origin of the term, it was invented by German eugenicists.
Okay.
Prior to World War II as a pseudo-intellectual way of describing how Semites, not just Jews, but all Semitic races, are inferior to the white Caucasian races. And it's not just about Jews. And so and it wasn't a negative thing. I'm an anti-Semite and I'm proud. Are you an anti-Semite? So it's just lost its term. When you go around and you say that's anti-Semitic, nobody cares. But if you look someone in the eye and say you are a Jew hater, you know, the reaction is so much more visceral. Me, no, I don't hate Jews. Because if you're against hatred against Blacks or hatred against gays or hatred against women, surely you also must be against hatred against Jews, or you, my friend, are the bigot. And just terminology we use, even the terminology of settler. I don't know what a Jewish settler is. I don't know what a settlement is. I know what a Jewish home is. I know what a Jewish person is or a school. I don't know what settlers are. Right? The West Bank. The West Bank of what? The West Bank is not a geographical location. It's Judea, right? Of the river. The area is called Judea Samaria. And if Jews are not from Judea, I have no idea where we're from. So it's terminology, it's unity, and again, it's the mobilization, and of course, an impactful legal strategy that we need to pursue, and which we are pursuing now.
We don't have a lot of time, but I want to know from you the price that you've paid. You have to have paid a personal price for the mission that you're on.
I'm thinking because
it'd be good. Maybe you don't think you feel like.
I guess the price to pay. I don't really have a good answer for that because, fortunately, and God willing, I have been very successful in my mission and I have an incredible team. We now have over 65,000 grassroots activists in the End Jew Hatred movement and 65,000 and growing about 5,000 a month right now. It is unbelievable. We have launched the first ever Jewish civil rights movement in modern American history. And I'm pleasantly surprised. Every day I'm surprised at the capacity of our community once we've unified, once we have clarity of purpose, and once we engage in the strategies and tactics that work, what we are able to achieve. You know, shutting down votes, getting professors who are engaged in Jew hatred kicked off campuses, suing the schools. There's so much that we can achieve together as a community, and we have not stepped into our potential. We have not reached our potential. And so that's really what my role is, right? Not to preach and tell you what to do, but my role is to help facilitate communities engage in the right strategies and tactics to solve their problems, to solve the problems that they want to see go away on a local level.
So what Winston Churchill said when he spoke to the Americans, give us the tools, Mr. President, and we will do the job. That is what's happening here. Brooke Goldstein has been in studio. She is going to be speaking on Tuesday, the 24th of June. If you want to get more information around that, go to the South African Zionist Fed website, and you will be able to get information around registering for that. That is absolutely fantastic. An incredible conversation. Lots and lots of messages. I apologize that I was not able to get to them, but it is it's phenomenal. Gail says, how do we join Brooke's mission? Brooke, just give us a website or a what do people do if they want to find out more? Obviously, they can register for the talk, but how do they look up?
So you can join the End Jew Hatred movement. If you believe in ending Jew hatred, you are part of the movement. It is a movement in the truest sense. Go to our website, andjewhatred.com. You can start a chapter. You can join a chapter. Get on our WhatsApp groups with our action items. Email me, contact us, brooke@thelawfareproject.org, spelled THELAW, F as in Frank, ARE, project.org. Follow us on Instagram. I'm Real Brooke Goldstein, and obviously End Jew Hatred on Instagram. Thank you for having me.
That is where we leave it. I'm Howard Feldman. This has been your Morning Mayhem, 101.9 Chai FM. It's time for me to love and leave you. Go and have the best public holiday possible, and I'll see you tomorrow morning, 6 a.m. to 9 a.m.